Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We've got some technical mastery going on today. I'm broadcasting live from the University of Sioux Falls, and my guest is there at the University of South Dakota in Vermilion, Dr. Mohammed Kamar. Dr. Kamar, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, and thank you for having me.
We have reversed everything today because I'm on the phone and you're in the studio on the microphone, so I think you're the host of In the Moment today. Surprise. Welcome.
Thank you.
The show must go on, and we're going to figure out how this is going to work. So thanks for being here. Dr. Kamar is a nephrologist at Sanford Health, and he's director of Interfaith Dialogue at the Muslim Community Center of South Dakota. Dr. Kamar, there's more than one mosque in Sioux Falls now. Is that right?
That is correct. There are three mosques in Sioux Falls, and our center, which is the MCCSD, is the newest Muslim center in the in Sioux Falls and in the state of South Dakota.
So what is the purpose of that center? Tell me a little bit about it.
So, you know, first of all, I would like to say that in my capacity as, you know, a member of the board of the MCCSD, I represent, you know, that center because, you know, none of us can say that we speak for all Muslims in the state of South Dakota or in the city of Sioux Falls. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very American thing because, you know, we all have our own opinions about things. And so in our center, you know, our main purpose in our center has been in existence for the last 7 years is to provide not just a space for religious activities and prayer, but to also be a center where, you know, we can engage in interfaith dialogue, where we can invite people to visit us, where we can have people, you know, from the community come and ask us questions that they may be seeking answers and may not be getting the perhaps the right answers either online or looking up or reading things. Because I think I say this time and time again that, you know, knowledge is obtained by reading something, but wisdom is obtained by the human experience and interacting with people. Our third objective is also to promote, you know, an atmosphere for our children, for our young American Muslim, kids, to come and to know more about their own identity as both as an American and as a Muslim, and to be comfortable in both those identities. And in that regard, I think that so far, you know, we have been welcomed in the state and the city of Sioux Falls with open arms. I think that this is a very loving and wonderful community, which despite the fact that, you know, Muslims are perhaps a very, very small minority, we have always felt as if we are part of this community.
Tell me a little bit about, you have children as well, and let's talk about the kids first. What are some of the challenges and then really opportunities about growing up Muslim in a city like Sioux Falls?
Sure. So I would say that I have two beautiful children. I have a daughter who's 11 and I have a son who's 6. My daughter goes to public school, and I think that, you know, being a child, regardless is difficult. I think we've all been through, you know, childhood and teenage years. That's a difficult phase in your life. And, you know, if you're sort of the only minority or the only sort of different looking kid in class, it can be a little challenging. So I think that what I tell my daughter always is that, you know, you're part of, you know, this community. You are an American, and you should be proud of that. And, you know, I would tell all kids, not just Muslim kids, that it is our responsibility to excel in whatever we do, to set a good example. And I say this time and time again, you know, to my daughter who's turning 11, and, you know, who I have to have some of those difficult conversations about, you know, her position in society. And I say that, you know, you're not just, you know, studying hard and working hard in school because we would be proud, or her parents would be proud, but also because, you know, being a Muslim, you know, you are an ambassador perhaps for Muslims in general. And I think that's true for every child. Now, as far as the challenges that would be faced, I think a lot of that would stem from, you know, the environment and, you know, what is being portrayed, not necessarily in the media, but what is being talked about in the community. And for that reason, I would say that, you know, all kids are innocent and all kids are inherently tuned to love each other and to trust each other. I think that, you know, some of the difficulties that may be encountered by Muslim kids, or I think by any minority children, would be how, you know, their parents or how, you know, their community at large is viewed. So I do think that on an individual level, it is our responsibility as parents to tell our children that, you know, be welcoming, you know, accept, you know, people for who they are. And one of our great strengths as a nation is our diversity. We are the most diverse nation on earth, and that is perhaps one of the strongest things about us.
As you say, you can't speak for all Muslims, I can't speak for all Christians, but for certain Christians, certain faith denominations at different ages, there's education outside the school, confirmation classes or catechisms or things like that. Do your children have, you know, outside sort of learning to do as well? What's their faith like, faith life like through the week?
So we do have a Sunday school at our center at the MCCSD, which is open to all Muslim children in the community. And in that, you know, school, it's purely volunteer basis. There are volunteers from within the community, and we have classes for kids as young as 3 and 4, going all the way up till 15 and 16. And part of that is, you know, to not only teach them about, you know, their own religion, about the Quran, and about, you know, teachings as a Muslim, but also instill in them a sense of community, a sense that, you know, they certainly have an identity, not just as an American, but as a Muslim, and to be comfortable in both those identities. So yes, I mean, that Sunday school has been quite successful. We have in excess of 50 kids coming every week to Sunday school. And I think that for a community our size, that's a very good beginning. It is something that I know personally that my kids look forward to, because they get to meet their friends every week. And one of the other things that we encourage in that is not just to consider, you know, kids that are Muslim as your friends. We also tell our children that, you know, when they go to school, their classmates are their friends. And it is important to interact with people of all backgrounds and all faiths. But to also have this feeling that, you know, you do have this heritage, you know, not just, you know, being a Muslim, but also heritage that, you know, your parents, most of the parents of the kids are immigrants. You know, they've come from different countries. And I think that gives a really good flavor to their upbringing, that they're exposed to both sides of the American experience.
Let's talk about interfaith dialogue and people coming in and asking questions in the community when they learn that you're a Muslim or that you're willing to talk about it. What kind of questions do you sort of get?
So, you know, I would say that genuinely, I think, as in the rest of the nation, I think people are generally interested in finding out about Muslims. I think that there are certainly some suspicions, and there are questions that, you know, people want to ask, but sometimes because they're afraid to offend someone, or because, you know, they just don't know who to talk to, those questions are, you know, not brought to the surface. That doesn't mean that those questions go away. So when we invite someone, and we typically say that, you know, if you reach out to us, we're open any day of the week for somebody to visit us. And we've certainly had numerous groups, I would say almost on a weekly basis, that visit our center. And we sit down and we have a very informal dialogue in which, you know, I usually, you know, lead those discussions, and I say to them that, you know, ask. And, you know, it starts off slowly. You know, people tiptoe around some things, and then we get into sort of the more difficult questions, you know, questions about, you know, religion and violence, and, you know, questions about Sharia and, you know, all manner of, you know, women's rights and what are, you know, Muslims' beliefs on those. And I think to a great extent, you know, at the end of our discussions, most people, I would say, come back, I would hope, with certainly a better opinion and certainly a more informed opinion about Muslims, who, again, you know, I would say that Muslims are, you know, not just in Sioux Falls, you know, they form perhaps less than 1% of the population in South Dakota, but across our nation, there's, you know, perhaps just 1% of Muslims. And we certainly are a very misunderstood minority, but we are also a very diverse minority. I think that there are Muslims that are not just from the Middle East, there are Muslims from as far, you know, as South Asia, from Europe, from the Far East, from Africa. Even within America, I mean, I would say that, you know, the largest subset of Muslims are actually American Muslims that, you know, have lived here for generations and are not just, you know, new immigrants or first generation immigrants. So there will always be a diversity of opinion within the Muslim community. We are not a monolithic, you know, body in that, you know, it's not always black and white. We certainly have, you know, all manners of gray areas within our, you know, there are certainly people that are very good. There are people that are maybe not so good. And there are people that are right in the middle. And I think most of the people are right in the middle somewhere, who themselves within the Muslim community want to learn more about their faith and want to understand their faith better.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh, and my guest is Dr. Kamar. He's a nephrologist, and he's director of interfaith dialogue at the Muslim Center Community Center of South Dakota. If we sound a little different today, that's because he's in the studio, and I'm on the phone for some technical wizardry today. And Dr. Kamar, I know if someone came into my place of worship and asked me some of those questions that you were, you know, engaging in dialogue with for other folks, I wouldn't know how to answer that for Christianity. How do Christians feel about women's rights? Well, that's different wherever you go. How do Christians feel about gay marriage? Well, that depends on what church you go to. So do you find yourself digging maybe even deeper into your own faith and your own values to try to really think about those answers for yourself and your community as well as what you find in the Quran?
I would say that, you know, that's a very good point. And to be absolutely honest, you know, this is not something that I was trained to do. I mean, I certainly, growing up in Pakistan, you know, where the vast majority of, you know, population is Muslim, you know, you don't really think about your faith that much. And I think it's almost becomes like autopilot. You go to your place of worship perhaps once a week, and then you go home and you live your life. And I think that, you know, moving to the U.S., and I think especially moving to Sioux Falls, where, you know, it is a community that perhaps, you know, is under more scrutiny, I think it does, you know, for me personally, you know, I certainly have had to read more about my own faith and read a sort of a diversity of opinion that exists in within, you know, religious dialogue, and then to come up with you know, some of the answers that I've that have been new to me and probably are new to a lot of Muslims. But I think that I am perhaps, I would personally say, maybe a more informed Muslim now than I was perhaps 5-6 years ago. And, you know, there are many questions that, you know, that are asked that I don't have the answer to, and, you know, I may never have the answers to. But I think that, you know, we should always try our best to find the answers, because I think it'd be very dangerous if we're only getting our opinions, whether it's about faith or about anything else, just from one source, from one scholar, or from, you know, one reading of the Quran. I think that, you know, even within sort of the contextual aspects of the Quran or, you know, the practices of Muslims, there is always context. And context, you know, you cannot get until you have really studied under what situation were certain things said and certain things revealed. The Muslim experience, I would say, in America is very different than the Muslim experience would be in Europe or perhaps in South Asia or in the Middle East. And a lot of that, I would say, is the cultural aspect as well. You know, we are products of our environment. And that is why I think that, that is one of the things that I also want to bring up, you know, closer to people's understanding that, you know, you cannot, you know, because of, you see something on television that happens 5,000 miles away, you cannot extrapolate that to, you know, what Muslims are thinking or even believing or practicing, you know, within the U.S. You know, there's 2 billion Muslims in the world. And I can assure you that, you know, we disagree on everything from, you know, music to art to literature, right down to cuisine. And I would say faith is no different than that.
Right. American Christians, many celebrated Ash Wednesday last night as they sort of kick off the season. I shouldn't say kick off, as the season of Lent begins, and that's a march toward Easter, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you have, in the Christian faith, do you have a particular season that you're in? Do you have something that's comparable to that? That has a meaning throughout the year that you want to talk about?
So I think perhaps the most important month for Muslims is the month of Ramadan, which will be coming around in this June of this year. And that month is especially important to Muslims because it's the month of fasting, but it's also the month of charity. And it's the month in which, you know, all Muslims are trying to be the best Muslim or the best person that they can be. So when you have to be at your absolute best behavior, you not only fast when you give up food and drink, but you're trying to be a best example, not just for yourself, but for the rest of the community. And it's supposed to be like a practice for the rest of the year. It is also marked at the end by a grand celebration, which is the Eid, in which all Muslims in the community gather and they pray. But they also greet each other. They wear good clothes and they give gifts to their kids. But the lesson behind all that is not just a celebration, but it's also to create a sense of humility and humbleness and a sense of respect for each other. So that is perhaps the most important month or celebration for Muslims.
you came from Pakistan, and as I understand it, you came right around 2001, and the terrorist attacks against the American World Trade Center in New York was something that was happening around you as you made your journey from Pakistan to the United States. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, so I was, I was visiting. I was doing electives in California, and then I had some electives in as a medical student in Boston. And I, came to the U.S. a few weeks before 9/11 occurred. And you know, my experience, obviously, I was a naive young man at that time. I was very enamored by the U.S. always. I think that that is what a lot of Americans don't realize is the soft power of culture that the U.S. has across the world. So I had always wanted to come here, and I was, I was wide-eyed, and it was a very difficult time. I would say that, at first when that hateful act occurred, it was almost like I was in shock, just like the rest of the country, and I would say the rest of the world. And there were moments in which, I considered on the insistence of my parents to perhaps go back. But I always say to this day that was perhaps the best decision of my life not to come back, because the weeks that I spent in the U.S. after that taught me a great deal about the strength of this country, the love. I think we had some technical difficulties, but again, anyways, I was saying that, the love that I experienced, the openness of this country, after that point was a testament to the power of, our republic. And it was in those moments that I decided that, this would be the country that I would want to move to. This would be the country that I would at one point, wish to become a citizen of. And then I came back again in 2003 to interview, and I finally moved in 2004 with my wife. I would say my American experience has been nothing but amazing. I think that certainly, these are not easy times, I think, for Muslims anywhere in the world. But I think if there is one country on earth in which, you are judged, mainly on your ability and, without, looking perhaps too deeply into your background, it is the U.S. I think I can't say that there isn't discrimination, against perhaps Muslims and other minorities, but I wouldn't say that that is the only experience. That is the only thing that Muslims, have to say about their experience in America. We would not be the vibrant community that we are in the U.S. if it was solely seen through the lens of, discrimination. I do think that Muslims have contributed a lot to society and a lot to America. And likewise, I think the American dream is something that has been realized by the vast majority of Muslims, including myself. I consider this my home and my country as much as anyone else. And I would do everything to defend, this country, the opinions of its people, including, people that even disagree with me, because that is what makes us America. That is what makes, sets it apart from any other country in the world.
My guest has been Dr. Mohammed Kamar. Am I saying your name right, sir? Do I have it close?
You are very close. It's a Kamar like summer.
Okay, Kamar. Dr. Mohammed Kamar, he's a nephrologist and he's director of interfaith dialogue at the Muslim Community Center of South Dakota. And today he's in the hosting chair of In the Moment. Did you think in 2001 when you came here that in 2017 you'd be sitting down and hosting a radio program?
No, not at all. I really, I don't like to seek out attention to myself. My role as the Interfaith Dialogue was mainly to reach out to communities, to reach out to people. I think that this is definitely new to me, and I am obviously nervous when I give interviews like this, because again, this is not something that I do as a profession. But I am very thankful for the opportunity to be able to speak.
Well, we threw some curveballs at you today, and I think you did a fabulous job, so we appreciate your insight, and thanks so much for being here today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.